Okay, a big shout out today to Helix Sleep. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows to our listeners. Find your perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/Stanhope. My last gig was March of 2020. So it's only, not even 6 months apart. So, we haven't done gigs. Usually, if I'm playing a fucking $50 ticket gig and Andy's stepping on my dick, I'm like, come on. Or if Andy's like running off, getting fucked up. Well, if we do basically a triple run, and we love doing that fucking run. New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Salt Lake, Flagstaff, and back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no, I would love Andy's energy because he can't step on my dick if I have no material.
Well,
by the end of it, he will.
Yeah, not the first night he won't.
No. No, most comics steal from somebody and then they leave. Yeah. Just fucking hang out.
That's what we do, Jaylee, is we co-headline and he has to close every night so I can sit on his dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll host the whole thing. It'll be a nightmare.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
Good breaking news. Hey, Sam Talent.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I just got done Legions of Skanks podcast. I'm pretty drunk.
That's all right. I'll carry this thing.
No. I thought Andy would carry this thing for you.
But I have nothing. This is the Sam Talent hour.
Andy, are you in the cockpit of a plane?
I am. I'm flying a plane right now. Have to do a few announcements about the weather and
please
temperature, where we're going. They like to know where we're going.
Half hour from landing.
Yeah.
Greg, where are you?
I'm in Boise.
Oh, wow.
He's in coach. He's in coach in the plane.
I'm in coach.
Yeah. I'm in steerage. I'm in a cage with the dogs.
Doug's obviously in the bar cart this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to make a decision. Do I do Legions of Skanks drunk, or do I do this way more drunk? Or what I did is that I started drinking on my 1 p.m. and then I go, I got Sam Talent and Andy that will talk over each other and I can just sit back drunk on this. But I didn't realize how drunk I was going to get.
Yeah, this is how fucking drunk you are. This is your intervention. We initiated this call. We all love you to death, and we just want you to get help.
Yeah, but you have to understand, I'm going to black it out.
Yeah, so am I, but I'm sober.
I'm going to wake up and go, no one cares about me, forgetting that you all intervened and told me you're going to die. Yeah, but I did get Sam Talent plugs out, including on Legion of Skanks.
Thank you.
A fucking book.
Also, Ricky Williams retweeted you talking about my book, which is very crazy. Those are two worlds I didn't know would ever collide. You and Ricky Williams talking about my book.
Well, I did a very strong bit about Ricky Williams when he quit the Dolphins. And then he found out about it years later and thanked me for it.
Well, he's on island time.
But then he was going to write a blurb for my book, and he never got back to me.
I think the intervention is more to keep you from doing Legion of Skanks. You don't need to debase yourself that way, Doug.
Hey, you already run with some questionable characters.
Yeah, man, you don't need a bunch of wallet chain Hot Topic employees.
The last thing you need is a scandal at this stage of your career.
I would love a Doug Stanhope scandal. Whatever you did that was actually a scandal must have been so fucked up. It'd be disgusting and depraved.
First of all, someone would have to pay attention to me the best thing that has ever happened to me is being ignored. Because, yeah, compared to a lot of the scandals, they're weak in comparison.
You're no Woody Allen.
Yeah, man, you was.
Maybe it's because you didn't form a family around you.
Oh, my goodness.
He did the opposite. He started killing them off.
Yeah.
That still didn't get it.
Yeah, that was Woody's long game, but he just never got around to it.
This is what we were talking about on Skanks, where they I think they enjoy the controversy, and they get this that fucking Milo guy, and they like you're just encouraging fucking trolling, and there's no reason for it. Like, you're encouraging all these fucking assholes, zero talent assholes, who are just stoking. If I could make a living being a troll, I would do it better than anyone. Like there's so many times I go to make a tweet that would be trolling if it wouldn't cost me fan base. And the other day, it's going to go, hey, listen to this podcast. They have comedians and female comedians that are great. But just do it in a very positive way. And I go, I can't do that. My fucking actual sense of humor is Brendan Walsh.
Yeah.
Like, just goofy fucking shit like that. But over the course of decades, I'm a social fucking commentator. That's not really, like, what I laugh at is Brendan Walsh. I would be a complete Brendan Walsh. But at this point, they think that I'm some social commentator.
Yeah, it sucks that you have that very juvenile sense of humor, and now people think you're smart. That was your biggest failure, dude, is letting people think you're smart. You should have been like me and Andy, dude.
Yeah, yeah, you want to be Einstein, but not have him catch on.
Yeah, and also, just like Einstein, you should be like Einstein and Woody Allen and just start banging kids.
For a second there, I thought I said Epstein, and then I was like, oh, fuck, no.
Doug, what if you started dating Andy's daughter?
My daughter's engaged, so I don't know. Doug would have to be boots on the ground in Colorado right now.
How many times, Andy, have I threatened you with that?
Yeah. Yeah, you offered my daughter. You said if she leaves the guy she came to the show with, she could go hang out with you and Johnny Depp. And my daughter dumped the guy, but it was too late to make the play.
There had to be a second there where she thought, how much do I like this guy?
Oh, and he was shorter than her, too, by quite a bit. So.
He was really? Already working that way.
Yeah. She just
let's get this out of the way. Sam Talent, I like to say our Audible version of your book.
It is. It's our baby.
March 16th.
That's right.
This is not the audio, but.
No. That's the script for the audio.
Yeah. When I put this on Legion of Skanks, that cover, they love the cover. I'm still kind of a fan of the old cover. I'm not against the new cover.
Because you're not East Coast fucking controversial.
Yeah.
You're not manufacturing anger.
Man, East Coast comics are so weird compared to us on the West Coast. Like, I don't think any of them like stand-up or comedians, but they do it. Meanwhile, I'm having a blast.
I've seen Doug do more real anger in the morning at like a motel clerk than I see, you know, faked in a New York act. Like Doug just getting, and then he's not as angry throughout the day, but it seems like those guys are happy.
Yeah, when Doug wakes up and there's no caviar left over from the night before, it's a bloodbath. Everybody let her leave the house.
Hang on. Sam just said, as a West Coast comic, could you open up those blinds and show us the sea?
Yeah, sorry. Good point.
Long Beach Harbor behind you.
Yeah, what am I? As a High Plains comedian.
We'll be landing in Long Beach in just about 17 minutes.
Also, in Andy's special, he says he's on a glacier and he's watching a storm come in over the Great Plains. Where the fuck was that, Andy? Where is there glaciers in the Great Plains?
Well, this was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. Climate change totally fucked up that joke.
Fucking where was that? That was in Montana, but I was on a glacier. Yeah, not a
Okay. Montana might be the only
the continental
answer.
Divide. I was right up there.
All
right. Right in the middle.
Point Andy. My bad. There's the special's great, by the way, Andy.
And that said Doug was gonna announce that, but I'm postponing releasing it because there's a late entity into the competition. For my charms or whatever. Anyway, I'm going to have a distribution situation and I'm delayed the release by a few fucking months.
Months? Damn.
Yeah. Four months.
Well, I guess we can terminate the call. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, Andy.
I did try to explain to Doug, but he was too drunk and I tried to explain that I didn't have anything to plug and then he was like, all right, I hope you'll carry it. I'm drunk. I'm like, okay.
Pretty drunk.
You seem all right, man. You blend into your background enough that I can't notice how red your face is probably from drinking.
No, it's just 2 hours of drinking, but I had to start at 1 p.m.
Oh, the pre-show.
Yeah.
You don't want to be unprofessional?
Well, the problem is I'm almost out of vodka, which is unheard of in this house. What? So I was drinking whiskey Cokes, which, yeah, they hurt you a lot more.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have a stomach ache. You're going to sugar crash.
No, I'm going to Seroquel crash.
Who's taking care of you if Greg's not there? Is Tracy still there?
Dave Rader. He's on a conference call right now.
Oh, handsome Dave. Hey, Trace.
Handsome Dave, yeah.
Tracy. That Dave guy's dreamy. I hate it. I hate when there's a hot guy hanging out. Mishka's there. He's hot. Dave's there. And then it's just like me sweating in basketball shorts.
Yeah, I wouldn't do you any favors being there.
Oh, I know, dude. You're a dreamboat compared to me.
Sam Talent texted me the other day, and he says, hey, my wife, who's in the medical profession, has a hot tip in Amarillo, which is about 15 hours from here. They're giving away COVID shots to anyone who shows up.
Yeah.
I'll even come down and drive you there. And I thought, oh, what a fucking existential hell.
That sounds like how you get COVID.
Yeah, Amarillo.
Amarillo.
Yeah, big Texas.
In a carpool situation.
They're injecting it into you.
Yeah, I'm vaxxed, man. I'm unkillable now.
We could eat the big steak while we're there.
I just thought you might want to go on a car ride. I was thinking about you like an old dog.
Yeah. You're going to put him down?
Yeah, afterward.
One last ride. Come on, get in, boy.
You can sit in the flatbed. I'll throw boiled peanuts back there for you.
I'm getting my vaccination delivered tomorrow. I think I don't have fucking connections. Jeez.
I mean, I got it before you do, so how about that?
Did you ever think, Doug, in any point in your life you would trust a needle drug coming to you at your door in Bisbee?
Yeah, who's giving you the vax? Dave Rader?
No, Kenny. Kenny's the only license.
I only got to hang out with Kenny like once, and it was when we went to the gas station. And man, that was quite the ride, dude. That guy rules.
That's yeah. 2 blocks.
When I go back, if I ever make it back to Bisbee, if I get vaxxed, I'm going to take that fucking Kenny out to the nearest basketball court and beat his ass. I've developed an outside game.
Oh, what, you're not just throwing down massive tomahawk slam dunks?
No, fuck no. That's what he would want. He would want me to get physical. He's like,
I did see that video you posted, and he's shooting that outside shot.
That was a short, but yeah, I've gotten COVID is giving me a legitimate chance to play some college ball, and I think I got some eligibility.
Yeah, 25-year red shirt.
Yeah. I'd be the oldest community college guy. And then they'll be like, nobody said a dog can't play hockey, or nobody said a fucking 60-year-old dude can't hoop. And I won't play defense.
No, you'll just cherry pick.
Yeah, yeah. Let the fucking scrappers do that shit, you know?
Yeah, man, you're like a white Robert Parrish. This will be great.
I tried to sell some Robert Parrish cards when I was like 20-something, and I had Robert Parrish cards, and I was in Boston, and the corners were too saft, so they didn't buy them.
Oh, they were rounded a little bit?
Yeah. I didn't know what his insult was, but I left knowing I didn't make a deal. Took years to realize what he was saying.
Man, you corner the market on Robert Parrish cards.
Sam, Pat, hey, talent. Looks like we might be coming your way.
When?
Now the vaccine is available to people like me.
Oh, so you're not hanging up your jersey? For so long, you said you were never going to go back out.
No, I have to go back out. I have dates booked. I just hoped COVID would never end. And then when it was trending the other day, CDC says, if you've been vaccinated, you can be indoors without a mask. And I go, okay, that means, and they say like 25% of the population's been vaccinated. By the time I go back out, that means it'll be full houses. I was not going to play fucking in a plexiglass box on a stage with people wearing fucking...
No, save that for the meet and greet. The boy in the bubble will meet you in a few minutes.
So when are you going to be in Denver?
No, well, I'm thinking to start back in comedy. Yeah. We do one of those in my book, the fucking mountain time zone run.
Oh, hell yeah.
No one can hear you bomb.
Yeah. We'll go up and see Chailey and go to that glacier in Montana where the Great Plains is so prominent.
You ski it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to let that, you know, like that level of ear should never be applied to my music. There's all kinds of flaws in that. The whole thing's flawed.
Yeah. And I said to Chailey, and he said, why don't you rethink this?
I'm going out that way in June, I think, too, just to go see my kid.
Well, nice, I said we should do this with Andy, because my problem working with Andy is he'll fucking step
pre-COVID. Andy.
Well, you generally
pre-COVID is the same Andy as now.
That's why did you notice I interrupted him?
Yeah,
by saying I'm a different guy.
The only difference is now Andy has a 12-foot jump shot.
Yeah. Well, I got a little longer range than that.
Seven out of ten.
And Andy filmed his special in 2019 at the Funhouse, and he hasn't done a gig since.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a closet with a club owner doing blow.
See, actually, when I do the math, my last gig was March of 2020. No, it's only, not even 6 months apart. So, we haven't done gigs. Usually, if I'm playing a fucking $50 ticket gig and Andy's stepping on my dick, I'm like, come on. Or if Andy's like running off, getting fucked up. Well, if we do basically a triple run, and we love doing that fucking run, New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Salt Lake, Flagstaff, and back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would love Andy's energy because he can't step on my dick if I have no material.
Well,
by the end of it, he will.
Yeah, not the first night he won't.
No. No, most comics steal from somebody and then they leave. Yeah. I just fucking hang out.
That's what we do, Chailey, is we co-headline and he has to close every night so I can sit on his dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll host the whole thing. It'll be a nightmare.
We've talked about it.
Beautiful.
Would you work for Sam,
drink? I noticed you got a lot of dates on your website, samtalent.com, T-A-L-L-E-N-T. Yeah, good for you, man. You're right back out there.
Yeah, dude, I got that vax, and I'm just out there. Man, if I could have done a book tour on top of, you know, all the love that I got from people, I would have bought that house next door to Doug.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to put my comedy special out when I can't get gratuities and hugs, high fives.
Yeah, you can't get slipped old Quaaludes. What's the point?
You do some a Zoom release party. Who's gonna give me bumps at that?
Yeah. You know? How are you gonna get some limp dick head?
Well, that I could still manage, but the rest of it I'd have to call out for.
He's practicing that.
That's what he meant by the long game.
Yeah, I use rotten fruit for that.
What?
Not anymore. But as a younger man, one time I on a road trip, I did fuck a peach. Wow. This is like on my way to Idaho, and I stopped at a place and it sold a peach. It's a windfall.
You heard good
peach.
Things.
It was a windfallen peach, and it was on sale, and it just looked like a drippy vagina. So I bought it, and then you can only have that in your passenger seat for so long on a long drive. So I did make love.
Andy,
to
a peach is tiny.
Well,
a peach is like smaller than your fist.
Yeah, I ripped that bitch open.
Yeah, there's a big stone in it.
Yeah, punched the seat out the back.
Yeah, you know what I like when I'm having sex with something is a thorny pit.
Yeah, you know, it was like last call. I kind of panicked.
I microwaved a banana peel one time.
He what? Microwaved a banana peel?
That was the depths of my masturbatory grossness was microwave. Because some guy was like, yeah, man, microwave a banana peel. It's fun. And I just remember putting a very hot banana peel on my wing. It sucked, man.
I think it might have been a joke.
I did what for sure? Yeah.
My mom, I had poison oak, and she told me I had it in my feet, and it was all fucked up. And she goes, like, this lady told me to, if you rub a banana peel on it, it'll help. And it did for about 30 seconds of relief, and then it was fucked up. You don't rub a banana peel on festering toes.
No, dude. Did you ever smoke banana peels to try and get high?
No, not yet.
Yeah, that's, yeah. We'll report back in a half hour.
Bitch, give me a banana.
you're way too young to have, like, that was a 1970s urban legend, the smoking banana peels. And you're only like, unfortunately, Sam Talent is only like 34 years old, I think.
Yeah, in May, I'll be 34.
Yeah, but they also had the Dead Milkman had a song that kind of brought it out too. That was 90s, right?
Yeah, we also had the Anarchist Cookbook. I mean, you know, you eat a bunch of nutmeg, all that bullshit. Like, the nutmeg thing was the worst because you
legends hand me downs.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the same way you guys thought like Rod Stewart took his rib out to suck his own dick, we thought it was Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, the thing with Rod Stewart was he had to have his stomach pumped out, and they found a tanker much truck cum. Full of cum.
Yeah, and that was Britney Spears when I was a kid.
The amount of cum, I took it, you know, as a young man in my, it's like, okay, that sounds reasonable, but then the amounts kept changing, and it's like, shit, you know, has anybody asked Rod how much it was?
Yeah,
we had 2 gallons of cum. How did that happen?
Mr. Stewart, hi, BBC.
big fan.
Yeah, just a long time festering question. How much cum was it? I'll take my answer off the air.
I'm going to be up on my glacier waiting for an answer.
Okay, big shout out today to Helix Sleep. Now that the Chaleys have left me alone by myself, all by myself, by my own devices for 2 weeks, I decided to quit smoking and fix up the guest house. So the first thing we needed to do was put Helix mattress in. That's right. Helix has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. But what do you do when you're buying it for someone else? for a guest room. You buy the exact same one that you have in your own bedroom because fuck them. Everybody's unique and Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size folks. They have a 10-year warranty and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. I took the Helix quiz and in fact, it was the Helix who said, you know what? If the Midnight is really the best for a guest room. And I go, well, that's perfect because it's perfect for me. So if you're looking for a mattress, take the quiz. You order the mattress that you're matched to and that mattress comes right to your door shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. Helix is awesome, but don't take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Just go to helixsleep.com/Stanhope, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/Stanhope.
Oh, man. So when are you going to start hitting the road, Doug? When's that happening?
I don't know. It was just when that 2 days ago, when that like it was a wake up call where, oh, fuck, I really am going to have to go back and do comedy. I was hoping COVID would last forever. And now I'm getting vaccinated and my real dates start in August, the ones that have been postponed for a year and a half. So, yeah, I'm probably going to have to go back out and do some warm-up shows.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I said before COVID that is still relevant, what I could change into being relevant, and what new shit. Like, I've been writing in a notebook. I have some premises.
What if you just did long-form improv? It's like, hey, it's me, Doug, and this is my group, Mission Improbable. We need a suggestion.
If I could improv, I'd have a way more popular podcast.
Well, that's the beauty of my act, is I can't write a fucking joke to save my life, but there is always someone in the crowd wearing a stupid hat that I can do 7 minutes on, so...
Well, that's why we want to start in the Mountain Time Zone.
They're just all the dumb hats.
Yeah. Where people can't remember what you said enough to quote it. Those rooms.
They're pretty lax up there, too, with the gatherings as it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Fort Collins. There's no rules here. God is dead, man. People are doing body shots. It rips.
Wait. Isn't that where the mega churches are?
No, it's Colorado Springs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fort Collins. Much cooler.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Sam, what are you going to do up at Yale? You got a gig up at Yale in, what is it?
April 8th.
April 8th.
I'm talking to them about literature and writing. It's a Zoom thing. I'm talking to a bunch of their undergrads.
Oh, man. Are you going to start dating students like Mishka?
And you guys always put me in such bad positions with Mishka. Mishka's my friend. He's been very good and he's helped me a lot. And then you guys are just characters.
Well, you pointed out how handsome he was, so you started it.
Try renting from him.
Oh, yeah. Who's Andy? Did you live in his house or was that Levine?
No,
Olivia, Grace, and Levine.
Right.
And he's, I don't want to even give him.
Yeah, let's move on.
I live in Eugene. I'm like the character in your book. Only I haven't had the uncomfortable talk with the roommate. I had a kid that went to Boulder. I got in a head on collision with a Freightliner coming back from a gig years ago where I should have been dead.
Yeah, man, your name's in my book. Yeah. Andy Andrus is name dropped in the first chapter.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, oh, and I waited and I'll read, you know, I went out to a winery and read the first chapter and I enjoyed it. Thank you. I've been in
Andy,
that
how closet, was the rest of the so book?
I haven't read the rest of the book. What happens? No, but I mean, you know, like I thought, of course you get, some of that, all that experiences as a comic, you know, are common of, you know, at least, I don't know. I've had shows that worked out though.
It's funny, Andy, that the you part was going to be me, but I was too famous.
So yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I've done bumps that were meant for you. You're too famous to do. Oh, I wanted to do some with Doug. Well, let me just hit it and see if it's worth bringing him down here for.
It's like when I opened for you at the Oriental Theater and that guy had DMT and I was like, yeah, I'll make sure he gets it. Never.
Count on me.
Yeah.
Sam Talent Delivery Man.
Yeah.
The last time I had DMT was after one of the Death Valley parties. And I threw it out the window. I was crying, audibly crying. And I like, get this out of my fucking car.
Now you just need to watch a commercial. Baby. I miss people. I'm so high.
Was that that Death Valley party? You threw that DMT out the window and it all blew directly into Brendan Walsh's face. And then he was shattered for like 6 months.
Yeah.
We snorted the remains of one of our fallen. We mixed mushrooms and cocaine, but I don't recall that ever happened.
Snorted mushrooms?
Yeah, didn't we? Was that mocaine? Was mushrooms, right?
Yeah, but that was not DMT.
No, but it was mushrooms and cocaine we mixed.
Yeah, because Red Man had made a joke about it, and I go, oh, we have to do it now.
Yeah, it wasn't a funny joke. Wasn't that the night everybody was just laid out in a mess? The night I got waterboarded and almost died in the shower?
I don't know. I don't know what you're... I remember laughter coming out of a shower head. I was tripping so hard. I saw laughter.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. I saw it coming out of a fucking shower head. But I think it was the first party where I had DMT and I'd already done it once and I had it and I'm glad we didn't do it. And then I threw it out the fucking window on the drive back.
I remember you telling me about it gave you apocalyptic nightmares. And then I was thinking, I think I might pass. I already have those going. They're not really nightmares. I wake up happy, but.
Oh my God. Well,
we had that. We had the, what was the mescaline, Andy?
Yeah.
That fucked you up for hours.
Whoa. I became an ancient Indian. So that's, you don't want to just discover you're an ancient Indian.
you kept thinking birds were after you.
No, there was a fucking bird. There was a crow that matrixed, and I was looking at it going, oh, fuck, man, it's not moving, but it was frozen in the air. And then I looked at the Indians, and they knew what I was seeing. We were all sharing the same vision quest. But I was like, man, how did I get here? You know, I started out a Caucasian. Now I'm a 75-year-old alcoholic Indian.
You didn't have not to that say
all Indians are alcoholics, but these particular ones were.
You were, yeah.
Yeah. Well, those were the guys who made their own moonshine in their trailer. And we had James Inman in the trailer, and Inman was drinking it. And the Indians were like, oh, no. Soda. Like when two old Indians are telling you you're drinking too much or too fast, and kind of listen. And he did not.
They have DMT vaporizer pens now.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that DMT that way, just on a vape hit.
What? It shouldn't be easy to do. You should have to smoke DMT out of like an old...
It shouldn't be convenient, easy, and totally accessible.
Yeah, and clandestine. It should be like a bleached cow skull that you have to have lit with some kind of brulee torch.
I was at a hippie concert, so I couldn't turn down anything. They'd think I was a cop.
Is DMT legal?
No.
So then... It probably falls into some bucket of therapy, maybe.
It's also, you can synthesize it out of like most living things. So it's really, if you know a little thing about chemistry, it's really easy to make.
Oh, yeah. I know. I don't know anything about fucking chemistry.
Sort of sounds like something Ed Gein would drop in the conversation. Yeah. Oh, you know, you can make a belt out of that fucking chick over there.
Everyone's just a belt waiting to be made.
He was the original MacGyver.
I'm still not over apocalyptic nightmares. It's the worst Yelp review for a drug ever. Oh, boy. Breathe it in, Andy. I was waiting for Andy to get high.
I was waiting for Doug.
I was waiting for Andy to shut up so we're not all talking over each other.
Tracy, by the way, I'm sorry about sending you the XL shirt. I immediately felt bad about it. It's just that, you know, there's two people who are petite men, and then Chad Shank is huge, and you know, you're a woman with curves to your upper body. So I didn't want to have you. I can't make it any better.
You have nothing to explain. Oh,
no. Okay.
You have nothing to explain.
There's no t-shirt size exemption that say can size.
Yeah.
Right. It's so true. Yeah.
Like man size two canned pumpkins will fit in this.
Yeah. Is this zoned for jugs?
Wow, this is so Legion of Skanks with your fucking derogatory comments to women.
Yeah. Yeah, they
wanted you to feel that we wanted that transition to be smooth, Doug.
They probably throw the word cans around a lot. That's old school. Cans on that dame.
Yeah, there is an opening for a canceled tour. I've been trying to come up with the name for it, like the pre-cancerables. Something like that.
I thought you were talking about like canceled tour, like it would be Woody Allen and
Shane.
People been canceled.
Yeah. Shane, like that was the one I've seen of. Like people who've been canceled, but not to an extent of. Like people have just been called out for, oh, he said something naughty. And yeah, I was saying this on Legions of Skanks. We can start branding, not branding is not the right word, but it's about time that comedy had genres. Like it's just comedy has always been the way it works. Well, no, how about,
I've been a rom-com act for most of my presentation.
Yeah, my comedy's been described as an apocalyptic nightmare.
Melting glacier in the wrong state.
Melting glacier was the name of that Indian who got Inman drunk, right?
Oh, the Iron Eagle or some shit, right? You remember, Shaley?
Iron Eyes Cody?
No, the Indian brothers in
No, Darwin. I don't know them. I didn't. It didn't hit me like it hit you.
No, they come back. Well, they came back till they couldn't.
I hung out with Indian princesses in Tama, Iowa, and they were like, after the show, they're like, you can sleep in our trailer. And I was like, cool. So I get there and I open up the trailer and it stinks real bad. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. We haven't really cleaned it since my son blew his head off in there.
Moons ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hang on, let me see if my lady friend will make me a there's a, hang on, let me get the coke in.
That's a uplifting story, Sam.
Hey, man. Just trying to fill time.
Sam, where did you stay that night? Did you in stay the in the trailer?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. They gave me a couple perks. They were like, sorry, we can't really get the smell out of there. They lit some sage. They gave me some Percocet, and I slept in there.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah.
And then breakfast was terrible, you know, because it was Indian.
Maize.
So it was all stolen from white men?
Yeah. No, it was given to them by the white man.
Yeah. Allowed. They were allowed to have it by the white
man. Be careful of the blankets.
Yeah, that's how this whole thing got started.
Yeah, you should do a tour where it's just Shane reading Dr. Seuss books.
Yeah, some crazy shit that Dr. Seuss had to say.
Yeah, who saw that one coming?
He did not like the laundry service.
That's a bit. It's an idea that I don't know, like what medium to put it in, but about like, let's, my dad was killed in the Vietnam War, but then I found letters that he sent from the NAM in combat to my mother, love letters, but he used a racial slur about the enemy. So now I am trying to get his name removed from the Vietnam Memorial Wall. Word with a K at the end in a letter. And as much as if you can see it written out, I love you so much. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why we're fighting. And these gooks that, like, but just make
Charlie's.
It a long love letter. But since he said gook, I am petitioning to get my dad's name removed and torn off the Vietnam. Just the idea of, okay, at what point do you stop?
And I am selling his Purple Heart and donating the proceeds to Panda Express.
We're smashing his Purple Heart. Thank you, lover boy. That's my girlfriend, Dave Rader.
And you're lucky.
Yeah. You're all about who's available. You know, I could never hold your love because I had to come back here, you know. And Johnny Depp, he's a fly by night, you know. It's because I wasn't there that you even shacked up with him for a minute. Oh, and also my island got confiscated. I can't even fucking go to. Oh, they took my boats. They took my fucking island. Shit. You know, just when I need to court Doug, I got none of the props. I knew it wouldn't work out with those huskier gentlemen because I know what a fucking snob you are.
Yeah, he's not a size queen, that's for sure.
I always say that when people like, oh, you know Johnny Depp, you guys are friends. Tell him this. Like, I go, I don't talk to him. I like, we're friends, but I don't. And I go, Andy Andrews is my best friend, and I don't talk to him ever on the phone. We talked on the phone the other morning.
It was, I know. I was like, fucking, yeah, I didn't. It's like you said, call me. And I was like, oh, fuck, he doesn't mean right now, does he?
Yeah. Yeah, when it's too much to text.
Yeah.
I talk to whoever's next to me. I don't fucking call people unless I regret it in the morning. The time I talk to people is drunk dials. Drunk dials.
It's almost better to miss a call from you because your voicemails are fucking epic. It's just the diary of a madman. Well, I remember that after I left the funhouse that one time, you were like, hey, did you eat a fucking pizza and not microwave it? What the fuck is this?
No, half what a happened pizza.
You're just
half
swearing. Your accent comes out. You're like, what? Who eats half a fucking pizza? Did you even cook it, you fat freak?
Just thinking it. I saw somebody posted a clip of one of Doug's earliest things, and I was thinking maybe when he gets drunk, he gets that accent again. Fucking wicked fucking pizza, you fucking cunts.
Yeah, what he's furious.
I hate to call it a scandal because it isn't, but fucking Alec Baldwin's wife, I guess, is a thing.
Dude. Hilaria?
Yeah. Yeah. I go, yeah, when I hang out with fucking, if I go back to Massachusetts, I get that fucking accent back. And a lot of people do that. Fucking a lot of white sounding black people, when there are black people, yeah, they start talking a little bit more fucking hood.
If you watch Good Will Hunting.
Oh, if you watch The Departed, man.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Microprocessor.
Yeah. A lot of people.
First of all, that accent was never mine. I have no idea where it came from. Like I had a stage voice when I started. Yeah, it's this awkward fucking thing. And it's not even a Massachusetts accent. It's fucking weird. I don't know. I can't explain.
As much as I loved it, I couldn't watch the whole clip because of that fucking voice.
Oh, my God.
Wait, Doug, didn't you tell me you were trying to not sound like Dice?
Clay, yeah.
You affected some other kind of hybrid accent?
Evidently.
Yeah, you started talking Boston Brahmin. I was just down in Key West with Tom Dustin, and that guy's got the fucking accent for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it sounds, he's always having so much fun when he's talking. He'll talk to old women and be like, all right, mama. And you're like, I could never, ever call an old woman mama. But for some reason, since he sounds like, you know, he sleeps inside of a barrel in Boston Harbor, he gets to talk that way.
I love Tom Dustin. I worry for him.
Yeah.
That's bad if you're worried about a human being.
Yeah.
He's down there. He's leaving Key West, man. He's just Nicolas Cage in it, having a good time.
Wait, does he still run a room down there?
Yeah, Comedy Key West. Great club.
Comedy Key West, yeah.
Yeah.
We were so drunk. Chaley was with me when we went down there. And I was so drunk the entire time. And I think we were there for a while. We were there. I was there for like 10 days or something. And I was so fucked
up. Oh, that was... Was that the trip you wrote about with Mother?
No.
Oh, this was recently.
He was finishing his book down there, right?
Oh, really?
No, yeah, it was right before COVID. I went down just for vacation, and he let me stay at the comedy condo, and then Chaley flew down, and I was, like, so ridiculously drunk the entire time. It was I just saw they had the same thing in Florida. Because I think I got there during a weird deep freeze, which is how vacations go for me. Like, oh, I gotta get out of here. It's January. I gotta go someplace warm. And they had what do you call those? Hey,
the onesies.
You unplug the my
glacier. Was it a glacier?
One that's not a lamp. Will you grab that for me?
Doug, you're talking about the when I got there, we got onesies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But what do you call the iguanas? had a
it's not a onesie.
Iguana. No. Listen, they had iguana. It was so cold that iguanas would fall out of the tree.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would freeze up and drop. So they had to warn people about falling iguanas. Don't get hit by a falling iguana. And I just saw that news story again during a recent fucking Florida freeze. And I'm like, that's what happened.
That's playing God, telling people to look out for that. That should be something you just get surprised with.
This is the weirdest coconut I've ever seen.
And then you record it with a fucking wicked East Coast accent. Like a fucking iguana fell through the wicked fucking damage in the fucking kitchen.
I can't do a Boston accent unless I go back there.
I can't do one either.
And you know who else can't? Every actor who's not from Boston. There's nothing more embarrassing than listening to a fucking Boston accent. Fucking Ray Donovan. I don't know if you watched that. And yeah, wicked hat. Like Fargo, you know, like, all right, come on, you're fucking going over the top with this.
Andy, that was a good season of Fargo, huh?
It was really good, man.
Yeah, I loved that season.
I like how you did a costume change. Now you're Steve Bartman. It's good.
Here comes. I did used to have a baseball out here.
Man, glory days, huh, pal? Yeah. Used to have a baseball.
That is the only place we see him, Sam, is on that. He's outside. That's a balcony that he's on.
Oh, yeah?
But he's got it plasticed in with some Visqueen, some
keeps the squirrels from hassling me when I'm...
Keep the squirrels out.
Yeah. Squirrels don't understand Zoom time.
Last time I was in Eugene, I did Lucky's and I hit up, is that the name of that dive bowl?
Yeah, bar shithole? Yeah,
I hit Lucky's. Up Andy and I was like, hey man, are you around? And then like 10 days later, he's like, yeah man, what are you getting into? I'm not still in Eugene, dude.
And then somewhere, years before that, Sam sent me my headshot from somewhere.
Yeah, from Looney's.
Oh, it was the Looney's.
It was a fucking horrible headshot, and And it was the first one I had. And then I did this gig in Klamath Falls. And I was hanging out and trying to, I think I did some blow or whatever. I was partying with this group of people and everything was cool till I knocked over a bunch of books. And then I went back, you know. But then there was a sudden snowstorm. I was working with Tree. Doug knows Hills Have Eyes Tree. Yeah. And there was a snowstorm. And so the next morning I was just feeble, hungover, and driving back to Eugene from Klamath Falls. And I couldn't get the snow chains on. So I said, fuck it. And I was doing okay till I lost control, skidded in front of a Freightliner truck, and I slammed into it head on, and then almost went underneath it, and then kicked over to the side, and I'm throwing out pipes and shit. And then the trucker gets out and he goes, starts yelling at me, and I go, I wasn't aiming for your truck, you fucking cunt. But I was close to dead as you can get coming back. And then a few years later, I went back into that bar of the gig, and on my headshot it said, thanks for making me your first, which almost my dying words left on a bar. And then I pulled the picture off of the wall and left. I won.
Hey, this podcast brought to you by BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com. What interferes with your happiness? Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? Are you on day 3 and ready to murder anyone who tries to correct your ad copy read? Well, go to BetterHelp.com. They will assist your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Connect in a safe and private environment. It's so convenient, you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. This is not a crisis line, and it's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. Send a message to your counselor anytime. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in some uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. The service is available for clients worldwide. Find the particular expertise you need online. Don't limit yourself to counselors located near you. Licensed professional counselors who are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, self-esteem. Anything you share is confidential, convenient, professional, and affordable. Check out the testimonials posted daily on their site. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor, BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. Join over a million people who've taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Stanhope.
You are listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
There's an Ollie Joe Prater documentary on YouTube. I can't suggest it enough.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, it's like he shot it in, I want to say San Luis Obispo, some like strange comedy club in near LA, and it's called Get Out of My Way. And the things he says on stage, it's obscene. I never thought that we should limit free speech until I watched this thing. It's fucking gnarly. I'll send you a link right now.
Please do.
Yeah.
Because I just tweeted that in the last several months. I wish there was a fucking documentary about Ollie Joe Prater, because he's a legend before John Fox. He's the guy, when John Fox, I worked with him once in Reno, and I go, is that a true story about the legend is, and it's Ollie Joe Prater's story. John Fox was the guy that was the biggest fuck up that would just keep doing the same bit over and over. He's so fucked up. the legend of Ollie Joe Prater, which I falsely put on John Fox. He'd done so much coke, his nose started bleeding during a show, like pouring blood, and he didn't know it. And after the audience is aghast and recoiling from, and then he does this. Oh, he goes, what? Nobody parties anymore? So I thought that was a John Fox legend. Ollie Joe Prater predates John Fox, who that story could very well. He goes, no, that's Ollie Joe Prater. Ollie Joe Prater, I remember and I think this is before I even started comedy, that I saw him on TV somewhere. He's like, yeah. And he holds up a beer. He goes, yeah, this. I lost this cost me my wife, my house, my car, my job. Fuck it. I still have my boat. Drink. Yeah.
That's in that special I just sent you the link to.
Good.
Have you heard the story about him being underneath a sheet and the sheet caught fire? Because Ollie Joe Prater was like 5'6" and like 340 pounds at the end of his career.
He stacks Calhoun.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like Yosemite Sam if he was stung by a bunch of bees. And he's like, he couldn't get upstairs anymore. So they would just throw a sheet over him and he'd sit on stage the entire time. And then when it was time to headline, they'd be like, all right, here's your headliner, Ollie Joe Prater. And they'd yank the sheet off. Yeah. One time he was like all wasted and he was like, he spilled some whiskey on the sheet or whatever. And he lit a cigarette and the whole thing just went up in flames.
Did he have to start his act early?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The feature was like, all right, well, Bailey, still get paid the same.
Make sure you include this link in the podcast notes.
I'll text it to you too, Shaley.
Yeah. I can't wait to fucking watch. I swear I just fucking tweeted that in the last 5 months. Like, I wish there was a documentary. But this is a documentary when he was still alive?
No, so it's like footage of his last special he shot and then a bunch of his friends who I'd never heard of being like, you know, Ollie Joe just loves saying the N-word. And it's like a fun story. So yeah, he's probably guys you've heard of and worked with. But it's all interspliced with footage of Ollie Joe. And he's doing every joke that I've heard everyone do, you know, like where he shotguns a beer and he's like, that's all I learned in college. He does all the hits, like literally every stock line Ollie Joe Prater does and laughs at, like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard.
Rowdy, I would love to see a documentary about that I could fill in some blanks. But there was like, who are some of those fucking weird, who's the Frankie Bastille?
Oh yeah.
Frankie Bastille is a legend. And he's actually in Mr. Saturday Night, which I've always said, Chaley and I should sit down and watch this together. And then Mr. Saturday Night. Do you see what I did there? Because it always reminds me of me and Chaley's ongoing relationship over the years. And then we started to watch it one night and it started kind of boring. Fuck it.
It's the worst feeling in the world where you're like, you got to watch this movie. And then you start watching it and it sucks. And you're like, oh, God.
Frankie Bastille, I'm sure that's the guy, is in Mr. Saturday Night, where he's the old man and he's watching fucking Evening at the Improv or something. And he's going, what? This is what they call comedy now? And it's Frankie Bastille just fucking railing about something.
He used to not use his name. He would not have them publicize his name when he would go headline a weekend because he owed so much money for child support. So it would just be like, Wits End Comedy Club presents Mystery Headliner. And it's Frankie Bastille every time.
Otto and George, they booked me at Uncle Funny's in Davie, Florida.
Who booked you, Otto or George?
No. The man. Club. Otto and George, you have to know Otto and George.
Yeah, it's a ventriloquist act, right?
Yeah, but he's such fucking crackhead that he was known for not showing up to gigs because he was on a fucking crack bender. So when they booked him as a triple X rated weekend, they booked me as a co-headliner in case he didn't show up, that I could carry the gig. And he did show up.
Hello.
I remember watching Otto and George. He had this one bit that, like, I left the room. Like, it was very funny, but you know what? Puppet. You know, the puppet's the bad guy.
Yeah, a bit of a racist.
Yeah. Colorful language, that puppet.
George is the puppet. Otto is like, the puppet's going, you know what I hate? Black guys with tattoos. Hey, brother, look at my tattoo. Look at my tattoo. I can't see your tattoo. You should have done it in whiteout, you filthy circus ape.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the room with black people as patrons. And I'm like, oh, I can't even be in the fucking room. This is so awkward. You filthy circus ape. But it was the puppet that said it.
Yeah,
I saw him in at that Chicago Comedy Festival, and Doug told me, "Yeah, you got to go." So I went and watched this, and it was just funny because it's a comedy festival. And then he's, "Hey, did you get your development deal? Did you get your development deal? Drink your bottled water, you pieces of shit!" Like, wow, he's talking to me. He's talking to all of us, but it's just, you know, I fucking loved it. You know, it's an abusive fucking dummy.
I don't remember that you were there.
Not when you were
at the Chicago Comedy Festival, because there was only two.
Yeah, I went the year you weren't there. As you told me, relax, have fun. You're not going to be the next David Schwimmer. And I was like, God damn it, there goes my hopes and dreams.
Good advice. That's good advice.
I'll quote that as one of the hardest I've ever laughed, aside from Brian Holtzman, mm-hmm. all the time, where he was on stage at a festival in front of industry, and I was just in the audience, that I've actually fallen literally out of my chair laughing, was Otto and George was on stage, and just the puppet starts trashing him, going, what are you even fucking talking about? You're a fucking crackhead. You're a drunk. You don't show up for gigs. No one fucking cares about what you say. Every time your lips move, the show sucks. What are you here for? Like, just an internal dialogue that he has via the puppet. Your lips move more than mine do.
You'd like to think. Oh, I'd like to think that's what Jeff Dunham has going on in his motel room. Yeah, it's
my first like real road trip ever was with a ventriloquist act that we were co-headlining for Sam Hackett in Flagstaff, and this was this nebbishy, terrified. I've never done a comedy club before. I usually just work state fairs, and they put us up at what you've been to that hotel is it's on. It's Chaley.
Yeah. It's in Flagstaff on that main drag right across from the green room.
It's on San Francisco is the street. Monte Vista
Hotel Monte Vista.
Yeah. Hotel Monte Vista. And this guy was so terrified that he, like, we weren't making much money, but he was so afraid of this old school hotel. This is a vintage, what do you call it? Old fucking, it was a fire hazard in this guy's mind. So he went and got himself a room out of his own pocket at the Days Inn And I go, why aren't you staying here in the free room? And he said, I've had bad experiences before. One time I played a cruise ship and they threw my dummy overboard. I couldn't go through that again if this hotel caught on fire.
Yeah, it's hard to find a fucking, you know, legit dummy you can work with.
What do you do?
And travel with.
Yeah, you don't have your dummy on the boat. You have to, like, drug a 12-year-old to put him on your lap.
Kyle Wayne. God, that's one of the good things about getting drunk is you remember fucking old Kyle Wayne. I believe what, I have a picture of him.
The name of the guy?
I think it's actually the picture.
Wow, that would be, you know, I'd watch his documentary.
I mean, Doug, to be fair, his concerns were valid. That hotel, it feels like a tinderbox. It's got like all the doors are smaller because people were smaller back when they built it, kind of thing.
But it seems a different concern than having, because the cruise ship, the complaint is you keep running into the audience over and over. And one of the times he ran into the audience, they threw his fucking his fucking prop into the water.
Well, why did he bring his dummy to breakfast? That's what I want to know.
It has nothing to do with you being burned to death later in your life.
Yeah, was he roasting marshmallows in there? What's this guy's deal?
I'm sorry if the show is different from last night. Instead of Grumpet, my puppet,
Grumpet,
Mr. Stump, because someone threw Mr. Grumpet overboard. So tonight it's Mr. Dress Sock.
I can't believe you're worried about having material for when you get out of COVID, Doug.
Yeah, you got Grumpet, man.
Doug and Grumpet. It'll be like the Doug and Emu ads. Emu and Doug.
I swear to God, Andy, fucking after just seeing that trending on, I was going to say MySpace.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Oh, yeah. MySpace is trending on it.
On Imgur.
Yeah, just seeing, 25% of the population has been vaccinated and you can be in a room without a mask. Oh, fuck, we're going to have full rooms. That was my last excuse. I'm not going to do fucking shows where people are separated. Oh, fuck, now they're not going to have to be separated.
I'm doing my show for seven white assholes.
Again. Also,
Doug, you've been performing in rooms filled with people with a lot of communicable diseases. I don't know what is new.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about fucking everything. COVID has destroyed specifically comedy. Like everything about it. No, comedy exists because people are crammed together in a tight room. That's how comedy works. That's why fucking Zoom shows. Have you done a Zoom show, Mr. Talent?
Not in 11 months, no. I did one at the beginning and was like, well, this is the opposite of everything I've been devoting my life to. You know who's going to save comedy is Doug and Grumpet.
Doug and Grumpet. Totally. Joe Rogan's going to give a platform for Doug and Grumpet.
Yeah. You know, Doug, we'd love to have you on, but we're just going to have a Grumpet-heavy episode.
Now, Grumpet's been used in a lot of white supremacy ads, Doug. How do you feel about working with Grumpet now?
There is a guy who does stand-up who has a dummy that's a white supremacist. It's a puppet. And he was opening for me in, like, Davenport, Iowa, and it was so bad that I had to leave the room because I was having a panic attack. And I go outside and my buddy Donnie Townsend's out there. I'm like, Donnie, will you go on and do a set after this guy? I can't handle it. And Donnie's like, sure. So Donnie walks on after the guy gets not one laugh for 15 minutes. And Donnie gets up and says, hey, let's get that puppet back up here. Totally saved the show. And Donnie had already done 10 minutes on the show. I was like, Donnie, you got to go back up, man. I can't handle this right now.
Donnie Townsend?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
Donnie.
Yeah, I know Donnie. Yeah. He looks like the Native American Indian in Young Guns.
For sure,
his name. Yeah,
he's a total. Yeah, grumpet.
Definitely a nice change of pace.
Lou Diamond Phillips?
Yeah, I was going to say the Mexican.
Oh, yeah, Lou Diamond Phillips. Yep.
Yeah, he's Mexican, not Indian.
I know.
He's timeless. Yeah. Donnie's opening for me. He's my like go-to opener in the Midwest. He's the most fun.
Yeah, I like Don.
Well, he'll go up no matter what, that's for sure.
He'd never seen me so shook. He was like, "What's the matter, Big Cat?" And I'm like, "Donnie, the guy's got a white supremacist puppet. He's eating his ass. I don't know what to do." And he's like, "I got you. Don't worry, big guy." Hey, let's get that puppet back up here.
Give it up for the puppet.
Drifting off in a fucking dreams of a documentary about all those guys. Captain Rowdy, fucking...
Yeah, you could do one. I mean, John Fox doesn't deserve his own, but he definitely fit into a...
He could be a little side note.
Yeah.
Kenny Rogerson. What about Jay Medicine Hat? You guys ever work with Jay Medicine Hat?
I replaced him once. He was supposed to be in Boise, Idaho, and he didn't show up. And all the chairs, I got the headline, and all the chairs were still up there. And my opener was, so your headliner couldn't get here. He started coming here tonight, and then they hit him with a flashing light, and he started to get very sleepy.
Wait, Jay Medicine Hat, for the listener.
Yeah. He was an R-rated hypnotist act.
Yeah.
So he had
Andy, that part goes before you tell the second part.
That's true. not everybody was aware of Jay Medicine Hat or his drinking problem and his inability to make it to gigs sometimes.
I like how you just assumed they had everyone was a Medicine Hat head listening to this.
And really, you know, that was my first chance to headline a club, and I was there with an audience full of people that were waiting for a ventriloquist act. So it worked out pretty good. I had a good 15 minutes.
Hang on. Jay Medicine Hat used to be a comic named something else and then reinvented himself as a hypnotist act.
Yeah, he was Jay Chinaman Hat for a while there. Then he was Jay the Beret when he was doing one.
Oh, he had that little stint where he was Jay Hard Hat. He did
That's the whole thing.
Don't worry.
The tool belt.
Tracy is, shit.
There's some comics like you meet that maybe don't last long, but there's a guy who, when I first started, his name Jay Webb. Nobody ever knew who he really was, and he did really shitty fucking old school impressions. So he was real forgettable, but it was like nobody knew who he really was, and then he disappeared from the scene. But that's a way to ease into comedy, you know? Don't tell anybody, create a fucking weird identity and flame out somewhere nearby your place.
the name sounds familiar. Is Tracy looking up Jay Medicine Hat?
No,
I thought you did.
She's crocheting.
Listen, you have your
not on a computer
and mine, and he's looking at his phone. But Jay Medicine Hat, is he still alive?
I don't think so.
I don't think he is.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's alive.
The first thing that comes out.
Yeah, the situation that happened, he was in a car crash is why I replaced him. So then it was like, Lisa was like, he was in a car crash. So I was like, okay, I won't bring that up again then. Because I said he was asleep at the wheel, basically, I implied by, you know, he hypnotized himself on the way to the gig. Crash.
Are you talking about Lisa happened. from
yeah.
Idle Funny Bone?
Yeah, and the chair's not being on the stage, you know, so of course I'm not going to acknowledge it again.
He was like the first guy I featured for.
Nice. Yeah, he bounced back, but I don't think that far.
Wait, all in with that outfit, huh? He brought a little bow and arrow on stage.
Yeah, and I think he was Sicilian.
Looking up Jay Medicine Hat.
I love those like guys who were with the over-the-top headshots back in the day, like, you know, the machine gun, a couple of babes, a couple of, you know, Twin Falls babes on their arm.
On a motorcycle.
That club, that Doug, you and I, we were on tour, and I think it was in Greeley, and it was in the basement. The
Down Under.
Yeah. The Down Under. That place had the most incredible headshots from like the late 70s and to all of the 80s. And I mean, the club was basically built in the 80s and it never got out of them. But is that where you got Andy's headshot that you spoke of earlier?
No, that's the first time I ever opened for Dog where he didn't remember me and I was very nervous. Andy's headshot was from Looney's, I think, down in the Springs. Yeah.
I did have I had a doll I won at the carnival. I was like, and then I did do a puppet act, and then I acted like I was having Woody Allen love with it. I don't think Larry knew what I was. I don't think Larry knew what I was about.
Andy. All those club headshots always have something very cryptic inside joke written on them. You know, it's like, hey, to Larry, everything is all too much sometimes. Signed, Andy Andrus. It's like, what the fuck happened? What existential crisis did you go through down here?
Andy.
Yeah.
I remember when we worked at Looney's in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
There was another time you, when I say Andy steps on my dick, he just first. So
the Endeavor, was it Endeavor?
It was a fucking space shuttle crash that happened on the way to the club. And I'm like, fucking Andy's gonna get to all the fucking current events shit. That's why.
The weather.
Hang on. There's comics, depending on your act, where you go, okay, Junior Stopka, for instance, just gonna do Junior Stopka. He's not gonna fucking have, oh, this just happened today. I get to step on the fucking elephant in the room. And I remember some kind of like space shuttle crash on our way to the gig is breaking news. And I'm like, motherfucker, I want to make Andy headlines so I get to do all the current events shit.
You remember what I said? It was something about there was a couple of inches of snow fell when they're expecting several more feet to drop, like something like that. And it was,
It was basically Dame.
Apparently, apparently I have that problem.
What was the Sam Talent? You're good with facts. The space shuttle, not Endeavor.
Columbia?
Is it one that blew up on launch, I think?
I thought that was the Challenger explosion.
That was Challenger that blew up. That was in the 80s.
We'll never forget.
I remember the punchline.
All those brave heroes.
The fucking ladies, space teacher lady.
Yeah, that was the Challenger.
Yeah, I remember the punchline before comedy was even in my fucking radar. Oh, they're vacationing over parts of Florida. That was the
yeah. I got like tragedy in is I can't. It just comes out right away. I don't do that waiting, and sometimes it's a bummer. Erickson pointed out one where we were working together, and it was in Montana, and there was a Christian camp that had a collapse of some sort, but a lot of Christian kids got rolled and some smashed. And I was doing like,
I think it was a balcony that collapsed, Andy.
Yeah.
Didn't a balcony collapse?
Yeah, something like that. You know, it wasn't the camp ended in a bummer, and I was right there to talk about it. And somebody went out and got Erickson and said, "You better go get him. He's been doing 15 minutes on the balcony collapse." Shit, man, trying to find the beats of the funny here.
I like how you described that as
was
a bummer.
Recently, though. Andy, wasn't that was like the last tour you guys did?
It was a few years ago. I've grown up some since then. Yeah. I think COVID's made us all examine ourselves a little more closely.
Yeah, and work on our crossover.
Yeah.
Do some plugs.
All right. Sam Talent, you can get in touch with him on Twitter at Talent, T-A-L-L-E-N-T, Sam. Running the Light is available on Audible. Congratulations on March 16th. Get on there. Everyone's got Audible. Just grab the book, man.
Yeah. Pre-order is available right now too. So you can get it.
Oh, and pre-order. That's great.
Yeah.
Also you can get the
really remind people that, we have, there's 13 chapters. 11 chapters.
Yeah.
All Dan Hope read a chapter and, Kreischer.
Who reads number one?
That was Kreischer because it was the shortest chapter, and he was doing the. And then I gave Doug the longest chapter.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, Doug, you've been so good, and I really appreciate all the help you've given. Also, hey, Fort Collins this weekend at the Comedy Fort, Freeze Comedy Club.
I've never forgotten where I was trying to read and Gallup.
Oh yeah,
the word, and ever since then, it's a running joke in our family where I say Gallop. I'm gonna Gallop.
Yeah, you were furious.
Actually, Tracy just pulled it up right here. Tracy and I both. Oh fuck, it's not showing up. Tracy and I both get credit on the narrated by.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, yeah, and you guys got that top billing. Sweet. I don't know why you have top billing, but.
Oh my god! I know. Obviously, alphabetical. Definitely alphabetical.
Also, I do want to mention Shane. You're doing a thing. This is coming out on the 15th, so the gig you just promoted will already been over. You're working with Shane Gillis and friends at the Helium in Philly on the 16th.
Yeah, that's sold out already. If I can plug Colorado Springs Threes Comedy Club next weekend.
Yeah.
Need some help down there. It's an urban room and it's going to be very strange. So come on out and see me, figure it out.
You can get all of this at samtalent.com. Also, Sam has a wonderful podcast with his buddy, Nathan Lund, at Chubby Behemoth, and it's available on iTunes.
It's a real galop. It's a fun time.
It's a real galop.
I hate Nathan London. I love the fucking all right, I have no joke there. I don't hate Nathan London. I'm drunk. I'm going to go fall down while daylight is happening.
Andy, you got this any plugs?
Andy's got issues, plugs. Issues with Andy, and I have a comedy special that's gonna do another lap around, circling around the area. It's gonna be out eventually, but just we appreciate your patience and thanks for flying with us. We know you have a lot of other options.
I saw that it's produced by the legend Chris Castles. That's a pretty good
well hit. It's more importantly, Doug Stanhope has opened his house up, and Paul Preventa directed it. So
I use Chris that going. Castles as an example of a thing. That's all.
All right, then.
All right. Let's leave it nebulous.
Yeah. Let's just leave it hanging there.
Yeah. Nice to see you, Sam.
Oh, man. What a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Doug, do our sign-off.
Crazy.
No. Let's get Sam Talent's wife in the room.
She's at work. She's a doctor.
Yeah. All right, then, Bingo, you're going to have to do this. Get us out of here.
Okay. Bye-bye now.